the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Something is echoing really bassy up here. Almost starting to rumble.
Oh, holy, holy, holy. Power and praise. a blessing and honor, glory and power and praise.
Tonight, Lord, we thank you, God, for this opportunity, Lord, to come before the people, Lord, and to teach thy word. Lord, I pray that you would bless me, Lord, that you would bless their ears, that they would hear, Lord, the things that I give out tonight that is of you, Lord. And Lord, let me stay in your word, Lord, and not get outside it. In Jesus' sweet name, we ask it all. Amen. Remain standing for just one more minute. Title of my message tonight, O grave, where is thy victory? Amen. I think we can all say amen to that. 1 Corinthians 15 and 55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Amen. You may be seated. You know, with all the wonders of the world and all the things that we can see with our eyes and how amassed this universe is, who is man that God is mindful of us? Amen. We're just little tiny specks and compared to the universe. But God is mindful of man. Of all the things he created, he's mindful of man that has a humble and contrite spirit. That is a man that he looks on. Amen. For that reason alone, it's a good reason, amen, to humble ourselves before God. But you know, I feel kind of sometimes like I'm just not worthy. How can you feel worthy of this great thing that God has done for us? Amen. Even Paul himself, he said, I'm not worthy because I persecuted the church. Amen. He said he wasn't worthy to be an apostle because he persecuted the church. You know, I feel that same thing, not because I persecuted the church or anything. I've probably done some of that too. But you know, mainly because it just, who is man that God is mindful of him? And it makes you wonder about these things, but I thank God that he is. That he has counted us worthy. Because we're not worthy. Amen. Except he count us worthy. And I'm going to try to get on some of that tonight. Paul said, he said, but by the grace of God, I am who I am. And that's where I feel tonight. But by the grace of God, I am who I am. I am where I am. If it wasn't for the grace of God, man would be hopeless. Amen. But he has an outstretched arm to anyone that will. He said, whosoever that will, amen, let him come. Amen. And I appreciate that. But Romans 17 and 24, Paul said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Amen. Who is going to deliver me? Amen. You know what? We can inject anything we want to into this message that God has given us or into this gospel that God has given us. You can inject anything you want to in it, but it won't mean anything because it's impossible to inject anything into it. We can put it there, but it's not going to have any power. It's not going to do anything. But we can put it there if we want to. But you take the sap of a tree. Amen. In the wintertime, all that sap goes down into the ground. Amen. Who told it to go there? Amen. The nature of God, there's a higher nature that controls everything. But God made God provided a way. It's God's provided way. And he provided a way for the trees. And he's provided a way for us. But you know, we've got to go his provided way. Amen. There's not any other way that we can add to this thing that's going to help out a bit. We can eject all we want to, but it's impossible to change the word of God. And nature itself will teach you that. If that sap didn't go down when it started getting cold, if it didn't go down, that tree would die. It had to go God's provided way. And if we don't go God's provided way, we'll do the same thing. Amen. We'll have the same results. Amen. But I thank God, amen, that he provided a way and that I'm going to go that way. The message that we just read, the words that we just read, Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am. Now, unless you've struggled, those that have struggled with the flesh, you might misinterpret this verse. Amen. But those that understand what Paul is talking about, only the one who has been through this struggle and is struggling with the flesh will know what this verse means. Wretched carries with it the note of exhaustion because of the struggle. Amen. Paul struggled just like we do. There was a man that asked me, Caterpillar, one time. He said, the apostles, they wasn't like we were they? I said, yes, sir, they was. It was flesh and blood exactly like we are. Amen. They felt the same thing. Even our Christ, our Savior, was flesh and blood. Amen. Because it took flesh and blood to deliver us from what we had been brought on us that was in the garden, the original sin. But Paul, he didn't give this any way of escape. He wasn't saying, oh, wretched man that I am, say, oh, well, I'm bad any way I go. But Paul is going to teach us here, too, that, amen, we're not to just sit and get on a pity party and say, well, I can't be perfect. I guarantee you can't be perfect. But amen, but we struggle. It's a struggle every day. It's a struggle every week. It's a struggle all the way up until the day that you die. This world, you're going to be struggling with this flesh. Either you're going to have trouble with some sinful things. You're going to have trouble with physical things. Amen, but there's a God-provided way. And we have to go that provided way. Romans 6 and 12. This was before Paul said the verse in Romans 7 and 24. He says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. He said, don't let it reign. He didn't say that it wouldn't be there. He said, just don't let it reign in your mortal body. Amen. This body sometimes, it can give you an awfully bad time. Amen. I've seen people go through sicknesses that I don't know how they ever stood it. My brother, he died this year, and it seemed like he was always struggling with the flesh in sickness. But he never had a bit of trouble telling the devil no as far as the things of the world goes. I never could figure out why did he have to go through those things. But you know, we'll understand it all better by and by. I'm not going to sit here and try to figure out everything. I'm going to take the word of God for the way it is. But Paul said, who shall deliver me? In verse 25, he said, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. What's he saying here? Amen. He was under the blood. Amen. With his mind, he's serving, amen, the law of God. But with his flesh, the law of sin. Because law has condemned the flesh. This flesh is still condemned. Amen. It's still full of sin. It will be till the day that we die. That's when Paul said, but with the flesh, the law of sin. If anybody here don't have any trouble with your flesh whatsoever, come up here. I'll let you have this mic because you need to be up here. You can tell the rest of us how you did it. Amen. But we have these problems. Amen. With the flesh. Paul says in another place, he said, not as though I had already obtained, I don't have the scripture for it, but said, are we already perfect? Then another place, he said, but this I do, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. That's what we do. We press toward that mark. Amen. I used to drink every day. But thank God for the grace of God, I am who I am now. But it's only by his grace that I am. Romans 6 and 11 says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Amen. See, that old flesh is dead. It died with Christ. Amen. I took on Jesus Christ. Amen. I took on the work that he did on Calvary. And I can reckon this old man dead. Amen. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. That's our joy. We can look toward Jesus Christ and we can reckon this old man dead already. Amen. But we're not to go ahead and live in sin. Amen. The Holy Ghost is in us. He's the one that's helping us to be overcomers of this body. Jesus was the first fruit of victory over death, hell, and the grave. Amen. Had Jesus not resurrected, amen, our sins would still be on us. Amen. But I reckon it done, don't you? I reckon that Jesus Christ has taken my sins and cast them into the sea of forgetfulness, that he don't remember them anymore. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15 and 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that sleep. There are many already dead in Christ. Their life is over. They're waiting upon that resurrection. They're waiting to hear that trumpet. Amen. When it calls them out of the grave and they'll rise from the dead. Now, some people, they look at this as an impossibility. But if I can show you tonight where nature itself teaches you this thing, will you believe it then? You know, a lot of times we'll believe about George Washington, but we won't believe about Jesus Christ. Abraham Lincoln, he's everybody's hero. Well, sure, there's Abraham Lincoln. How do you know? You didn't see him. You come to God, they say, I don't believe anything except what I see. Amen. Verse 21, 1 Corinthians 21. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Adam was a type of Christ. Adam wasn't deceived. Amen. Adam took that plunge in order to save Eve. He took that plunge, and that's the reason that we have salvation today. You kind of wonder about Adam. Well, you know, he didn't have this thing. I mean, Eve was deceived. Why did he go on in it? But the Bible is saying in another place that he went in for Eve. Amen. He went in because of Eve. And now we are where we are today. And because of that, we're where we are today. Amen. What happened if Adam didn't come in? That's right. It'd be just real quiet. We'd have nothing to say. Amen. Because there would be nothing to say. I don't know what would have happened. You could only kind of speculate on those kind of things. But since by man came death, by man also the resurrection of the dead. It was because of Adam. Amen. Now it's got to be a second Adam. Amen. And he's going to come like the first Adam did. I don't believe that Jesus Christ I know that he was a man. I know that he was flesh and blood. Amen. But he was a quickened spirit. He wasn't born like me and you. Well, he was, but he wasn't. There was no part of man in him. Amen. He was God manifested in the flesh. And the resurrection seals the deal. Now, I know when Jesus was on the cross, he said, "It is finished." And it was finished. But what if he didn't rise? If he didn't rise, then it wouldn't be finished. Amen. It's the resurrection. That's what we look to today, is the resurrection. If there is no resurrection, then Christ died in vain. Nothing happened. No, nobody was saved because death wasn't defeated. That's why it says, "O grave, where thy victory?" Death was defeated when Jesus Christ rose from the dead. The Old Testament demands of the law was finished and completed in Jesus Christ. He didn't come to destroy the law. He couldn't destroy the law. Amen. Nobody can destroy the law. We can, especially. We cannot add to the law. Neither can we take away from it. And neither can we add to it. I'll get to it in a little bit, but let's go on. 1 Corinthians 15 and 22. "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" Amen. And Jesus Christ, amen, when he rose from the grave, he was seen by, I say, something like 500, they say, that seen him. Amen. And these things went all throughout the world, even to where we are today. That testimony is still alive today that Jesus rose from the grave, that they saw him. But you know, you can go back into the Old Testament and you can bring all of that up to the new. Jesus didn't come to destroy the law. He came to fulfill the law. Amen. The law cannot be changed. It cannot be added to. If you add it to it, then you're a creator. Because you create things. So how can we add to what God has created? And if you take it away, amen, you take from it. You make it weak. You make something that it's not. Therefore, it has no power. Natural laws. Now, some of you probably out there know more about the law of thermodynamics than I do. But I know just a little bit. And I know enough about it that you can prove the resurrection right in the natural things that God has created. The law of thermodynamics, energy can be changed from one form to another, but it cannot be created or destroyed. Isn't that something about the Word of God you can't add to or take away? Amen. You can have all of this energy. I can take a log, and I can bring it here in front of you, and I can prove resurrection to you. And I can prove to you, according to man, that nothing is destroyed. I couldn't add to that log or take away from it. But I could put a match to it. I could start it burning, and it'll change form. It'll take on a different form, ain't that right? Amen. Maybe you can't see it, but you can see it going up in the smoke. And all of that log is going to go up into that, but nothing is going to be taken away from it. You can take a gallon of gasoline that weighs 9 pounds, and it'll put 19 pounds of carbon dioxide into the air. You can't take anything away from it. You say, well, how come it'll be 19 pounds and the gasoline was only 9 pounds? Because it took all the oxygen and everything else it took to burn it. You can't destroy that either. And in fact, if it happens that way in the natural thing, who do we think we are that's not going to happen to us? How come we can't see that? Oh, yeah, I believe this thermodynamics or whatever you call it. I believe that because science said so. You know, I don't have much confidence in man. But I've got a lot of confidence in God. Amen. If I can put a match to something and cause a resurrection, how come God can't resurrect the flesh? If I can take a gallon of gasoline that weighs 9 pounds and turn it into 19 pounds just by lighting a match to it, how come Christ can't resurrect me? Man, as smart as they are, they don't want to believe anything they don't see. But they see it and they still don't believe it. God said we can see him by the things that he's made. And we are natural things too. Amen. If he can resurrect, if science can resurrect things, then so can God, I'm sure. Science knows you can't add to or take away. If I could add to, I'm a creator. Jesus didn't come to add to the law. He came to finish it. He didn't come to destroy it. He came to fulfill it. There was nothing taken away from the law when Jesus came. There was nothing added to it when Jesus came because it was all already there. In Genesis 3 and 15, salvation was there from the very beginning. Okay, there it is. I just had to look twice, that's all. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Redemption came all the way from the very beginning. But there was nothing added to the Word of God because nothing can be added to it. Everything's already there. Amen. You can't add anything to energy. You know, science just now proved that the soul was energy. At least they proved it to themselves. We already knew it. It's an energy. At one time, they were calling everything matter. But now they say the soul is an energy. Because it has a conscience. It knows good from evil. It can figure things. Amen. But when this old body, if you don't feed it, because it came from the dust. If you don't feed it, if you don't put water in it, if you don't put all the things that it takes that was in the ground, this body will die. Amen. But that flesh, that soul goes on. It goes on into God. Hebrews 13 and 8 says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He was back there yesterday. Amen, and he's here today. Energy was way back there before we ever come around. But man thinks when they come around, they'll change things, but they can't change anything. They take 9 pounds and burn it, and they put 19 pounds into carbon dioxide. Now we've got a problem with the climate control there. So they say, I don't know. But I know the things of God never change. They're the same yesterday, today, and forever. If they're not, how could we believe anything? If it doesn't remain constant, how can we believe anything? If this world don't remain constant, you couldn't depend on it. But every day it remains constant, and so does the Word of God. John 5 and 39. Amen. Search the Scripture, for in them you think ye have eternal life. And they are which testify of me. Amen. There's energy in the Word of God. It's like kicking a football. Amen. All that energy comes to you into that football. When you read this Word of God, all of that energy that's in the Word of God comes into you. It's an energy. Brother Wells taught something here not too long ago that was talked about the Word of God and the power that comes from the Word. Amen. And I believe that. I believe this Word is just as perfect as God's creation. And we come on scene and we think we destroyed something. We do. We get it out of our way. But we don't destroy it. And now it's coming back to haunt us in climate change. If they know what they're talking about, I don't know. But I know the Word of God is always true. Amen. If this universe can stay constant and be true, how come this Word came? God created the rest of it. Amen. The Word of God is our a lamp into our feet, a light into our pathway, or maybe vice versa. Amen. But it lights our way. It's the Word of God that God has given us to light our way through this universe because man is the one that has the trouble. Man is the one that's cursed. Now, man might not be able to destroy energy, but God can. God said, don't fear them that can destroy the body only, but fear them that can destroy both soul and body. See, it's not all matter. You've got a soul in too, that's an energy. And then science just keeps on passing up all of these things. But God, all that God created cannot be changed. You can't add to it or you can't take away from it. And that's the same goes with this word. It's the same God that did that that made this word. And people want to add what they want to it. But once they get out of God's provided way, amen, you're lost. You've got to remain in God's provided way. And His provided way for us, amen, is Jesus Christ. There's no other way. No other name under heaven whereby man must be saved. There's none other. Amen. They can prove all they want to. Amen. God created, and there's places He'll say He created flesh in different forms. Flesh of man, flesh of the animal, the fish, the bird, and so on. Ecclesiastes 3:21. Amen. God created all flesh. But there was something different about man than the rest of the animal world. Amen. And I know I get in trouble if I say our animal friends don't go up with us, but she's sitting right over there. But that's all right. She's got a kind heart. That's okay. But I'm sure if she gets up there and her dogs aren't there, she's not going to walk out and leave. But anyway, it says, we know it's the spirit of man that goeth upward and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth. Amen. We are made different. We're made special. Amen. We made God. What did God do? He breathed into the nostril of man and he became a living soul. All the rest he created, but he breathed into the nostrils of man himself. Amen. And you have a soul, amen, that God put in you that is eternal. And God's the only one that can destroy it. Amen. But God's provided way can make a way for escape. The Bible said that he did. Amen. You know what? I'm going to take that way of escape. See, man is different. Man is, even in the Bible, we're allowed to kill animals, but animals are not allowed to kill man. Even in the Bible. So God has made different creation, but all has a different glory. If you'll look into it, you'll find out we're celestial beings and terrestrial. Amen. All has a different glory. What God has made the sun, he's made the moon, and he's made the animals. They all have a different part they play. But I'm interested in the part that I play. Because God has said that's the way he wants us to be. He breathed into our nostrils. In Genesis 2:7, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Amen. After the original sin, death came. Amen. And man took on another form. Amen. We need to be transformed. We need to be transformed back. Amen. And there was only one way that was going to happen. By sin, one man came in and brought death. It's going to take a man to come in and take away that death, to reverse that. And that's God's provided way. If people don't like God's provided way, well, they live around here, they breathe this air, they obey the law of gravity. Amen. These laws are just laws like gravity is. I can jump off from here and I'm going to hit the floor. Nobody has no doubt about that. And the law of God is the same way. They don't change. Amen. And if I'm foolish enough, I could jump off a building. And I was when I was a kid. I saw Superman one time, so I climbed up on the house with a cape on. I still hit ground. So see, the laws don't change. The law of thermodynamics. If those laws are good, if man can see some laws that are in this thing, along with the law of gravity and this law and that law, amen, There's also laws that God has appointed unto man once to die. Amen. And then we have God has a provided way. It was His provided way. Just like the sap from the tree. It goes down into the ground in the winter and it comes back up in the summer. Amen. It's the nature's way God made it. And God made us too. Amen. And He has a God-provided way, amen, for us. 1 Corinthians 15 and 21. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Now resurrection, if you think about it, it's not any different than the things we live by and see every day. It's God's provided way. I don't know how that sap knows when to come back up, but I know that it does, and I know it knows when to go back down. Amen. God has put a lot of things in here we're not going to be able to understand. But amen, we have to look. I don't know everything about the thermodynamics. I don't know everything about the Word of God. But I believe what they said when they said you can't destroy energy because it's been proven. You put 9 pounds of gas into there and you come out with 19. They're not destroying anything. And man said, I'm just like a dog. I'm going to die and that's it. Well, if he was a dog, that would be it. Amen. But he's a man. Amen. And one day he's going to stand before God. Amen. Because it's God's provided way that he didn't take. 1 Corinthians 15 and 50. Now I say unto you, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Amen. We had here, New Year's Eve or Sunday night? Amen. We took all of these things and we burned them. And it went down in the water. You know, we didn't destroy nothing. It just took on a different form. Amen. This flesh, don't think it's just going to go down into the dust and that's going to be it. Because that's not what's going to happen. And you can take nature and see that. Amen. And in the resurrection, we take on a new form. Now Jesus took on different forms when he walked on earth. Was he flesh and blood when he rose? I think he was. He wasn't resurrected. He rose from the dead. Amen. I believe he walked around in flesh. I believe they felt the nail scars in his hand. The wound in his side. They felt all these things. He was flesh and blood. Mark 16 and 12, it says this. After that, he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. They was walking down the road of Emmaus and said, Jesus took on a different form. Well, what form was he before he took that one on? Amen. Verse 9 and 2, I'll show you another time that Jesus took on another form. First off, let's get the Greek translation of form. It's a qualitatively another form. Christ was transformed in Mark 16, 12. And in Mark 9 and 2, after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John and leadeth them up unto a high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. Those nails didn't keep Jesus on that cross. He could have transformed anytime he wanted to. Amen. He was God manifested in the flesh. There was no sin in him. What does it say? After 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John and leadeth them up into a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. In verse 3, and his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow. That's the raiment me and you have to take on. You know, I'm glad that when God looks at me, he don't see me. I'm glad that he sees Jesus Christ. Amen. And it filters out all of my ugliness. Amen, aren't you? And he sees me as white as snow. And Jesus did that. It was nothing that I could do for myself. He did it all. That's the reason they say, There's nothing you can do for your salvation. What can I do? Except take on Jesus Christ. That's all that I can do. Amen. I know we're not supposed to let the sin reign in this mortal body. We fight it every day. But that's not what saved you. What saved you was what Jesus Christ did on Calvary. His raiment was white as snow, as no fuller on can white them. It's going to be whiter than anything we've ever seen. And when we take on that raiment, we become white as snow too. If I have to go before God on my own merits right now, I'll be needing Jesus as much as I did the first day I repented. Amen. But we live and we walk and we do because of the Spirit of God that's in us that leads us in those directions. Amen. They have quit the battle. They don't fight the battle anymore. They've surrendered to the flesh. Just because they can't be perfect. But God said they wouldn't be perfect. He just said, strive for that. Strive for perfection. But one day we will be perfect. One day we're going to be white as snow. Amen. It's going to be because of one. And that was Jesus Christ that hung upon the cross. Amen. Verse 4 of Mark. And there appeared Elijah and Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. The Bible said we'll be known even as we are known. Now, things are going to be a lot different, but I'm going to know who you are. But you're going to forget all them bad things I did to you. There's a lot of things we're not going to carry with us, but I don't know exactly what it's going to be like. I don't think anybody does. But they knew who Moses was. They knew who Elijah was. And when Jesus was transformed, they knew who he was. Amen. So I believe that we'll be known even as we're known because the Bible says so. But everybody says it's such a great mystery, resurrection. It happens every day. Take on a new form, a different form. You don't destroy anything, but you take on a new form. Jesus, with God manifested in the flesh, he had to yield to death. He had to yield to the cross. He didn't have to stay there. Adam came in. He didn't have to come in. But we can thank God that Jesus did. 1 Corinthians 15:45. And so it is written, the first Adam was a living soul, and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Amen. Adam was made a living soul. God breathed in the nostrils of Adam, and he became a living soul. But Jesus was a quickening spirit. Amen. He wasn't like the rest of us. Amen. He had no earthly father. He had a heavenly father. Amen. The Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary, and she conceived. Amen. It was a quickening spirit. Amen. It wasn't like us. If he was like us, amen, he would have died in his sins too. But he wasn't like us. Amen. He was God Almighty manifested in the flesh. Amen. He could transform himself whenever he wanted to. He did. 1 Corinthians 15:35. But some will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? He says in verse 36, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. Amen. We become quickened when we die. Nature will teach you that. You have to, before you put a seed into the ground, amen, it's not quickened until it dies in the ground. And then after that, it resurrects. Let's all go over and pray for Sister Pam.